the communications that we heard were related by junior high frequency radio to the facility of the bench headquarters downtown, and constituted the first information concerning the
reaction throughout this period. Now, when I say for practical purposes, this doesn't mean that no panic occurred, but it did mean that no significant amounts of it occurred, which could either cause hazard to individual lives, person panicking, or disruption of transportation or rescue efforts, or general pattern of setting up the emergency facilities. We tried to define panic reactions as those including both the blind running, which we usually think of, and also the freezing and immobility. For instance, you associate this with the problem of getting horses out of the stable when they're fired on. Now, this could easily have happened in a number of places. For instance, in the returning of homes, which went over the bluff, if there had been a tendency to freeze and condition in many of these houses, there could have been considerable, at least, injury or exposure. But the nearest can be determined, both children and the group who were still out there at the time, they were mainly women, men not having come home by and large, mobilized themselves rather rapidly and got out of these dwellings. And there were some considerable difficulties because of the new nature of the terrain, which was suddenly up and down and sideways, instead of level. Again, the other type of panic that occurred for this section, attempt to run might easily have led them to begin that, which, as far as we know, did not happen. By all our accounts, it didn't. Now, we describe this fact of this lack of immediate panic to a number of things. I suspect one of them, which you probably are not able to document, but I think it's probably of some value, is that people by and large are totally ignorant about earthquakes and have had no previous experience with something this size, and therefore don't immediately react unless they happen to be in a setting which is obviously in considerable danger. This part we show especially people who couldn't see what was going on, and if they couldn't see any immediate damage reaction. This is my own case. We didn't take in for some time how much devastation there was. Now, within the next 24 hours at the Providence Hospital, which was essentially the starting station for all the emergency victims of the earthquake in the Anchorage area, except for some few who were able to get to the Navy Hospital and to some extent the military. And you recall the military hospital was also evacuated. I don't believe that we knowingly admitted anyone because of a primary psychiatric condition. There were a number of people who came in with minor injuries and major complaints. These were usually able to be settled with some reassurance and medication. Very few people came in without some kind of physical injury, even though it might be minor. Apparently, not feeling that their emotional reactions were worthwhile bringing them to the hospital. Well, as a matter of fact, even some people with major physical injuries didn't come. We had at least one man with a broken leg who didn't come in for 24 hours because he felt that people who were worse injured ought to come first. Which may be the most reaction at all. So we can say then, for our immediate practical purposes, that the psychological reaction, which would have been most deleterious, that of panic, didn't occur. And the opposite, by and large, did occur, that people immediately mobilized what type of survival gear they had and got vigorously to work. Now, this is a psychological reaction that Dr. Parker will talk about shortly. But this phase, and I'm speaking at this point of the Yankee area, carried through most of the first 2 to 4 days, by which time most of the utilities were back in function to some degree at least, or if an individual home wasn't yet heated, they had friends who did have a home that was heated, and everyone was able to, by that time, say things had been counted and they were back together again. Joe, would you like to discuss about the same period in Seward?
North, but either one.
I think that
thank you. Just the first.
Now, let's stick to the first few days right now.
In Kodiak, the situation was a little bit different than the sewer, the locker, but the vector, you also kind of found it. Actually, I think six were counted at the mail station. Six tsunamis, of which three were victims. The interesting thing as far as the initial reaction on the part of people to the earthquake, myself included, was that it was a very terrifying thing. And yet, I think most of us just stood still. I'm sure I did what everyone else did, just stayed in one spot and got onto the car. And no one panicked at this point, no one at all. After the shaking ceased, and I had a chance to call the patients in the hospital, one of them was very seriously ill, and had that possible after the shake had ceased, everyone went back to more or less normal activity, which is rather surprising. There were a few people there who knew about the fact that sideways saw rivers. These people needed to be engaged in preparation for tidal. But a good majority of people did not do this. One group of ladies had a bowling session scheduled. The bowling alley was right down the waterfront from the basement of what was to ultimately have been the new golf club. And so this was actually below our normal high tides, the level of the bowling alley. 35 ladies showed up about 10 to 15 minutes after the quake, and there was nothing wrong with it. They proceeded to bowl. And some of the ladies, you all think that you might have some questions. You all think that something just might have been missing when the president has to do this, and I want to do it with their source. And I ran into the shop, particularly with the two ladies. And after I was able to get into the people in the hospital and check the hospital for facts that were going on, I can call home and then I went to the room. And I noticed already two carpenters had been called to put into the final count in place of those units. Already they had contacted the office and they were down within about 75 yards of the waterfront, playing like cowboys. But it's in a way that it's not at all. Everybody was sitting there, expecting that to happen. And there was this one guy who spoke up, and I don't know who he was, but this one guy who was in the picture, who was a little bit of a conference for the tsunami, the actual place. And then the lady got off the boat, ran out to the car, drove it behind him. And we went back down, and I got into the water, and it was safe, and locked it. And finally, the person that got out of the water, it took a little while to fall over. And I was just trying to make it, but I didn't put it up to whatever it was. Carried a lot of that. Okay, a lot of portion of the water. And then, about 35 minutes after the quake, 35 minutes, we had a situation where the water rose from the dead level to approximately 2 feet, 3 feet, possibly 4 feet above what was the normal high tide. And this was a very difficult decision. This stage is not the one. So the people were not capturing a different clutch of the monitor. The pattern of the small crest preceding a big drop and then a big crest. Consequently, that first little crest came up question, who might be with the grant? And one of the justices there, I heard of all, and one of the ladies of all, and oh, we're gonna get out. By the time it was believed, the water was flowing out the west side. That's what I consider, the sun was never burning, if it were not that far, sun would see that too. But we were looking around the corner for a second, and we looked out, and we just said, we look here, the air break. Then, when the rest of the lake came, which I assume was the biggest of the river, since it came in one time, and it was not the, it didn't go to the high water. But then people took the pictures of the fire department, and there's, I'm not really going to go very far, but, not the first, saw the river, and they were sent to me. And then we all spent the night, ACS, we
24 hours in Anchorage, we had something over 200 and some patients seen at Providence Hospital. And I think our total mortality rate of that list was about 7 or 8. Again, our district is reversed. Now, one aspect of this, which sometimes can be wondered about, is what is the effect of something like this on people who are already severely mentally ill, and whether from illness or retardation or whatever. I think maybe Dr. Bowman could give us his impressions about both his staff and his patients during this period.
At the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, I pointed out that the past capacity for 229 patients is very new building, very solid detail. But the top stories that I have demanded, they're supposed to be on both wings, tomorrow. I was at it and in the main center, they one more story added. Therefore, we have to type of construction with this.
Yeah.
and there's notice there's water coming down floors and so forth. We didn't know that's supposed to happen. This was a high cover. Just a little bit of the roof of that barn, so we got flooding in our top floor, and some of it went down. But this was quickly fixed by the engineering group. The telephones, of course, are off immediately, and our regular electricity was off. But we had an emergency system, which was put in play, which took care of special spots and also occasional lights pretty much all over the hospital, so we were not the complete blackness. The fire mains are broken, so our water supply was out of commission, and the water from the heating tanks that we had to be turned off because it was all out, and we had to run out of electricity. So we did not do that. Now, the patients were more or less taken back to their wards at all my time, and we couldn't take our patients back to the top floor because everything was soaked there. So we carried some beds down and various things. The nurses very quickly had the patients all working, as everyone knows. The great thing to do is have some people who can present a calm demeanor, a good example, and keep the other persons busy. Because if you're busy doing something that you feel is useful and really getting some satisfaction from it, you aren't just sitting there wondering, is there another shot coming? If that's what I do, or there isn't anything I can do. Work into a pack. So we got the beds down, and then they are all set up, and then one nurse decided that this wouldn't be satisfactory this way, so she got the patients to move them around in a bigger position, and this went on 3 or 4 times, and everybody was working together. Snow in the buckets, which were set down on the floor, and which melted slowly, and we used those for a great interest, and it was not one of these patients coming without the result of their levels of medical retardation. Very interesting gesture and very helpful for them. In the first few days, things went pretty well, and gradually got everything back to normal. But as some of you may know, they were running over 30 aftershocks a day, some of them so slight that you would have noticed them. But for the first 2 or 3 weeks, or over the day passed, in which they were at least one bell ringer, so they called it the bell ringer, was a five or more on the Richter scale. And just 1 week after the first shock, we had a very severe one that was 6.5 on the Richter scale. It only lasted about 15 or 20 seconds. But there was a quite a reaction now on the part of both patients. The patients have been monthly with all these shocks every day, and when this happened, they were disturbed by the respiratory things came back. They did not have any admissions of acute psychiatric conditions in the first few days as a result. And this other thing was an interesting observation, and generally things got back to normal.
I think that our initial title of this, the psychiatric aspect of your state, really carry the impression of disease or injury, a medical or pathological phenomenon. Now, there are a lot of phenomena which go on during a disaster, psychological in nature, which I think we must feel constrained to call normal, at least predictable, even though they're not the usual reactions that we have in everyday life. And I'd ask Dr. Parker to go over some of the things that we found, as well as other people found in the past, as to these normal psychological reactions.
Thank you, Dr. Eisen. I suspect you're going to hear in the social science section today some of the things we're talking about here this morning. Some of them may be couched in a different language or viewed from different aspects, but I think the differences are more apparent than real. I have a feeling from both what I've read and what I've heard in discussions with others that there is a great deal of commonality of feeling about what went on. I think the basic purpose of a personality to generalize all our behavior is the maintenance of our own individual personal integrity. This is what we fear losing in ourselves, we fear the cessation of I. And this is my basic assumption in reference to this material. Dr. Langdon and I in our practice, with the other people in our office, see approximately 75 to 100 people a week. Now this is obviously, if they're coming to a psychiatric office, they are coming to a meeting. This is a biased sample of most of what I'm going to talk about now is derived from another somewhat biased sample, but at least not biased in the sense of a real or seen or visible or tangible psychiatric disorder. And these are the dramatic total reports, personal reports of 57 students in Anchorage Community College. Dr. Davis, who will present this afternoon, has developed his data, I think, at least partly on the basis of anecdotal reports from students at the Alaskan Methodist University.
I believe that the first responses to this situation were responses which tended to reduce the problems confronting the individual within his capability, his scope, his ability to cope. This is, of course, obviously self-preserving. To this extent, there are many of these individual anecdotes reflect what I call a subjective sort of a limitation or self-localization. A feeling, for example, that if you felt this earthquake badly in Mountain View, it was just right there where you felt it, and nobody else was bothered. It was a limitation still. There was a good bit of loss of time. Time as a referential framework was kind of lost in its first 24 hours. Well, it was this kind of limitation which were immediate responses. Then there were immediate efforts which came out of this preservation of integrity. Now, in the best sense, we are also extensions of ourselves to others, and particularly those who are close to us. And we notice in almost all the anecdotal reports, the very first reactions were towards one's love objects, people that were close to one. Fortunately, Anchorage being a small area, this could be accomplished in a relatively short period of time, geographically, with a restricted area. So usually, with the dependence on the automobile, the fact that the road communication, although it was clogged, was not shut off, allowed people to move. Even those who had duties were precluded on actually physically going and seeing their people reported an urge to find out, an urge to move towards them. And of course, this was reflected immediately after the radio station, one of the stations was able to get back on a very short time on standby power, and this was reflected in the constant flood of messages within the 24 first hours there of trying to get in touch with their people. So there was this movement towards others. After this immediate attention to one's own loved ones and making sure that they were all right or trying to find them, in most cases, in many cases, then there was a feeling of what can I do, a sort of service to others kind of business. Within that first couple of hours after the quake, at least in the Spinard area, which contains many small businesses, there was just as if a decision had been made, had been reached and made, there was no price raising, there was no gouging, there was voluntary limitation of purchases, and there was very little attempt toward it reported by, on the part of the merchants. If, I don't think symptoms is the right word. It's a word used in our schema in the paper in the medical journal, but I don't think it's the right word, and I don't know what other word to use, so maybe something like phenomena. My feeling is that if something big happens, you should darn well respond to it. Now, this is the biggest earthquake of the century in North American history, so it was worth a response. You know, why sit and shrug your shoulders? It was worth it. So the first feelings were feelings of anxiety, excitement, and some fear. As Dr. Langdon pointed out, many people did not know just exactly what was going on. Now, some of us are fairly familiar with mild tremors in Alaska all the time. And so, you know, the first response to a lot of things, well, we're having another one of those, but this one just didn't stop. As parenthetically, in response to what Dr. Bowman was saying about the intensity, we found also among our contacts, which are fairly extensive, that people
developed a very precise ability to judge the Richter scale from their subjective impressions. You'd feel one of these aftershocks in the first 3 or 4 weeks, you'd say, well, that was about a 5. A paper would come out, it would be a 5 or 5.3 or 5.5. And I think this is this is a cognitive, partly, at least partly cognitive and partly conscious, and partly a learned response, which is also self-preservative. Because if you're pretty accurate at gauging the intensity of the quake, it's going to have an effect on a lot of your behavior. You say, oh boy, this is over 8. It's only 5. There's another little thing that a lot of anchorageites have developed, and this comes out of modern internal interior decorating. And there's lots of dangling lights in these modern things here. And so the best check, the gross seismograph of the anchorage area, if you feel a shake and you're not sure it's your own inner ear, you look at your hanging light fixture, and if it's moving, it's a tremor. And if it's not moving, it's you. Happiness as a result of this anxiety in the first phase, and I think we can grossly lump it under that, there were some physiological responses to the anxiety. This included tremor, either fine or gross, visceral symptoms, impairment of digestion, loss of appetite, diarrhea, some cases of nausea and vomiting. There was always some impulse to flight, flight being a normative, self-preservative response. There was also, outside of this concern for others, there was another self-protective thing which went on, and that was a sort of a relative depersonalization, a kind of putting the I part of me aside, walling it off a little bit, kind of preserving it for future reference, and going about your business. We think we saw this for at least the first 2 or 3 days of the equipment. One of the things we're very sure comes out of this, and it's come out of other reports of catastrophes, and it's come out of the work that, for example, the civil defense people have done, is that there is a great thirst to fill the vacuum of ignorance exists at a time like this. A thirst for knowledge. This is something which we must acknowledge and we must respond to. Incidentally, there was a good bit of feeling came out of this, that word civil defense, which has certain connotations regarding bombing, atomic bombs, and that sort of thing, ought to be dropped, and something about disaster defense or catastrophe coping or something be substituted for that particular word. As long as there is structure and information within the community, there is a great deal of guarding against any overt pathological anxiety reactions. So that the radio, when it came back on, came back under the auspices of civil defense, and all announcements were prefaced by their source and their official nature. And I doubt that there is any place in the world in a comparable 36 to 48, 60-hour period where transistor radios were so extensively, widely, and continuously in use as was in these areas during those first hours. If this thirst for knowledge is satisfied, we feel very sure that it mitigates against any untoward responses. It helps the individual a very great deal. We try to fill in the gaps in the knowledge. And we feel also that if those gaps are not filled, and if the official people and the community leaders do not satisfy this very innate need, then we get the sort of stuff which comes about rumor. And the rumor can be very destructive in this situation. For example, one workman saw the mannequins from the penny store being carried out. They numbered about 36, and I forgot the exact number. He counted them. And he was convinced these were all bodies.
this around. And it was necessary for some very intense, repeated announcements to be made that there were no further casualties. You see, it's completely illogical to assume that the community leaders could benefit in any foreseeable way by the concealment of the amount of casualties in the quake. And yet, for the first few days, this was a repeated thing. This thirst for knowledge is filled in the vacuum, must continue. It seemed, I think, very clear in the pathology of the advanced chronic alcoholic syndromes, for example, where the individual loses a lot of his immediate recall and makes up things because he can't stand to have this absence of knowing what happened. And to a lesser extent, this sort of thing applies here. During the first few hours, most anecdotal reports revealed a tendency to get together with other people. Now, there are all sorts of rationalizations for this. We haven't got any heat, it's easier if we're around one fireplace and we only have to split wood at one fireplace. Why not cool our food, you know? We've got two alcohol burners and we can cook a big pot of stew or beans or something and it's easy. But we do feel that within the first 2 days, there was a good bit of this tendency of people who want to get together, to cluster together in more than one family group. Children in particular, not only wanted to be in their own family group, and they wanted also to be with other groups. There was either an impairment or a heightened appreciation of reality we detected. This impairment in terms of limitation of scope or heightened appreciation in the observation of detail and a more outstanding alertness than we normally possess. There's a good bit of reporting in this anecdotal kind of stuff which reveals this heightened appreciation of new reality. Later on, there was reported, at least in my sample, and again I say this is with college students, so my college students differ from Bill's quite a bit, because it's an evening school and they age range from the teens up to the 60s. There was, in about a third of the anecdotal reports, a feeling of guilt at being lucky. You know, why am I getting off so well when so many people were hurt so badly? The depression we'll mention just a minute, and it came later on. Overlapping all of these above phenomena were, in the later stages, after the first few hours, excessive fatigue as one. Now, many people, and I don't think it's been pointed out enough, housewives in particular had a very difficult time. Normal housekeeping was an impossibility, and everything that you did was tripled or quadrupled in difficulty. You had to haul water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there was a lot of physical fatigue. But in addition to this, there was a great deal of fatigue, which we think was psychogenic in origin. There were changes in eating and drinking patterns. Either heavy eaters stopped eating for a while, and heavy drinkers stopped drinking for a while, and vice versa. I'm not saying that they were there's any particular pattern, just that there were reported in these anecdotes, you know, considerable changes in eating and drinking patterns, and an exquisite sensitivity to environmental influence. This is a fancy way of saying every time there's a tremor to jump, there is a very great sensitivity. Although there is this protective thing, which I mentioned, of being able to judge what kind of intensity of the quake is. In terms of temporal evolution, you feel at first the anxiety arose out of a feeling of helplessness. There were a lot of reports of things like this. Please God, make it stop. This is what's going on. You're 4 minutes in an earthquake over 8 on a Richter scale is an eternity. So you hear something, please God, make it stop. Or, Daddy, make that thing stop. this sort of thing. There's this feeling of helplessness which led to anxiety. In certain cases, according, I think, both to the psychological and physiological predisposition of the organism involved, there were symptoms arising directly from the anxiety. For example, an exacerbation of gastrointestinal symptoms might be an example, arising directly out of the anxiety. However, in many cases, anxiety continued to exist, was dealt with as best as possible, but of course was not resolved, and led into feelings of anger. And there's considerable report in the anecdotes of anger. Basically, the anger was directed at the earthquake, but that's an awfully intangible thing to direct anger at. Some of the anecdotes report anger at God, being angry at God for either causing this or permitting it to happen. This isn't very satisfying either. So these angry feelings were vague at first, but, and of course, resulted in some expression, and we feel this expression was either outward or inward. If it was outward, it was some form of aggressive response. If it was inward, it was a depressive response. And there was a pretty uniform feeling of depression, temporarily and angry, we felt about 3 weeks or so, and lasting for possibly up to 2 weeks, a generalized depression in the community. And this is inwardly directed anger. When I visited Seward sometime later, I felt that this depression had not set in the same way or temporarily in the same sequence, and I don't think it did with Valdez or Kodiak either. Now, in this outward directed aggression, if it was expressed as destructive aggression and hostility, it often led to such things as projection, putting the blame on other people. Why doesn't that lousy gas company get all involved and do something? Or why doesn't the city of Anchorage do this or that and anything? Or how come this or how come that? A lot of irritability, a lot of criticism, a lot of violent outbursts. Many of these were interpersonal outbursts, either in a marital situation, in a business situation, other interpersonal relationships, and in which the aggression and hostility expressed was more than was needed, more than was called for in the real situation. Constructively, this aggression, and I think this was in the majority of cases, was channeled into such things as the determination to rebuild participation in planning and working and so forth, and sort of a damn the earthquake full speed ahead kind of feeling many people had. This was a wonderful feeling. It's wonderful to participate in it. In the course of human conduct, however, it only lasted about a month or so, and we have since seen all the goodwill and fellowship and cooperation being dissipated over the last 5 months. Thank you.
I based in part on what we observed in our practice and what we were able to determine from other physicians and psychiatrists, and also based on what Dr. Parker just discussed, we made an attempt to predict, in general terms, what type might come up. For one thing, based on our initial observations, we thought that probably we would not have a great surge of psychological casualties, even later on, that is, that in the first few weeks. The ones we did observe were exaggeration of some of these phenomena that Dr. Parker had spoken of, in that some of them, for instance, in an attempt to separate themselves from the disaster, of course, a number of people
to actually go into geographic by getting off plane and flying away. That's one of the possible for everybody. And others, it looks like one. I think probably the commonest method of doing this, after the initial phase, was excessive sleepiness. Now, this is not to be computed to fatigue, as you mentioned, because this was after the excessively stressful working period was over. And this was just a matter of the fatigue. People didn't show up for work because they overslept, or they might sleep all day. Some of the most pronounced ones, those which appeared either as a primitive collective reaction, or some things that put on those schizophrenic in their appearance. A person transporting himself, in one case, to another planet. And he became, I think, either a Venusian or a Martian for a while. Now, presumably, those things were not really written at the time. Another woman transported herself into mythology, and she became the goddess Juno. Now, this practice system, we thought, had a double significance. Not only was she removing herself from the scene of the crime, but she was also turning herself into a being which could not have this happen to her. Now, the reactions lasted a very length of time, depending on the person. But I think that the majority of this type of phenomenon did not exceed 1 to 2 weeks, unless it turned into an actual schizophrenic reaction, in which case we have to question if the earthquake caused it, although it might have triggered it. Now, on the community-wide basis, based on these symptoms that we brought in, we felt that there would probably be a few phases which of reaction during the ensuing months, probably in a different sequence in different communities because of their own, again, individual community effects. For instance, I don't know if I should appear to agree with me, but my own feeling about this is that Kodiak, having already been an island, react in a different way than Seward, which for practical transportation purposes suddenly became an island. The people of Balinese were even more physically shattered because the whole community seems to be evacuated. Therefore, although perhaps similar reactions occurred, I'm sure that they're temporal, evolutionary. So what we attempted to predict was largely on the basis of Anchorage, which we were most closely associated with, and had a larger population to observe. This period of aggression, which was either positive or negative, and either negative, either outward or inward, showed itself pretty clearly within the next 5 weeks or so, and lasted a while. And the city council really got a lot of time during this period, as well as a few other places, a number of the federal officials. It's interesting that, as far as I know, the military didn't receive a great deal of this. This is perhaps based on many reasons, but for one thing, the military was not obviously making the rules, or as the city council appeared to be. There was another outburst of rumors several weeks after the earthquake, and I think partly this was because the flow of information, official information, had let down, and the usual red tape had come over again. For instance, at one point, the fourth avenue slide, their equipment was gasping for a while. And it very quickly got around that this smell was out of bodies, which again the city had concealed. And the
reaction to the aftershocks produced a certain number of profits and savings. And we thought it would happen so frequently, it was almost inevitable that he would predict one or more right on the nose. So, this got a certain amount of credibility. And when it went on down town, this I don't think caused any serious problem, but it was interesting that the number of people said, now this fellow knows when the big one really was hit, and the end is really going to come. Again, we discussed this at time with the several friends people and the information people, and managed to get the information going for it. Now, because of the nature of a modern civilization, which maybe has changed significantly since the San Francisco quake, a lot of the reconstruction, rebuilding, especially in Alaska, has to do both publicly and privately with federal and state agencies and military federations. Now, therefore, this is the one factor which fed into the psychological reaction. Because for quite a while, for instance, in Seward, there's an entire city to be made up and announced about the river that we built. There was a long discussion, which some of you may know, and well, I guess the answer is resolved now, but as of yesterday morning, there's still some questions about it, as to what was going to be done about mortgages on houses that had been destroyed. The question of public utilities became a problem of city council, district engineer, and their various channels. Attempts to get information in many of these areas was very frustrating, and the people who were most concerned began again to develop these angry reactions, overreactions. Now we thought that dependent to some extent on what happened in these communities in the way of reconstruction and decisions, which were out of their power, being on these governmental levels, as to whether in a period of 5, 6, 8 months we would have another episode or group of more severe depressions. Well, so far, and this is 5 months, we have not seen a marked upsurge in depression, although we have seen quite a number of them. But they have not been as severe as we thought they might be. Now, some of the major things have been resolved at this point, and we will have to speculate now over the next 3 or 4 months if they have been resolved sufficiently to people to reassure the people so that they will go on and function. One of the problems that gives us that we find it quite difficult to get more than a few scattered samplings is what the reaction would be of the people who left communities immediately after the earthquake. In this case, I obviously don't mean Valdez because they had to leave. But people will say from Anchorage, who primarily from fear or something else, went outside within the next week or so, and then returned later on. Well, we didn't see enough of these people before they went to know just what all their motivations were. But we did see a few of them. And the few that we did see who were very anxious, very concerned, had to leave. Within a few sessions in most cases, changed their mind on this, especially if it was going to affect a career or children or something like that. There have been a few